on a personal office, they want to know that you're serious about coming and contributing. But I think overemphasizing that is a mistake. I think what they really are looking for is, do you want to learn?
Hello, and welcome to the Hopkins Podcast on Foreign Affairs. I'm Chris Park from Johns Hopkins SAIS. We're taking a break from our regular program with a new mini-series. In this series, we're calling Scoring and Thriving. We talk about foreign policy internship opportunities in and around our nation's capital. In this episode, we're joined by Jeremy Gonzalez, who previously managed the internship program at the House Foreign Affairs Committee and actually was my former internship supervisor when I was interning on the committee. We discussed the difference between committee and personal office internships, steps to finding internships on Capitol Hill, and ways to become a more competitive candidate. Jeremy Gonzalez is a Cuban-American serving as a presidential management fellow at the Department of Defense. At DOD, Jeremy works on critical and emerging technology with international partners on the legislative affairs team. Prior to his current role, Jeremy was a Peace Corps volunteer in Timor, Indonesia, and a staffer on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He earned an MA and MPA from the Maxwell School at Syracuse University. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hopkins Podcast on Foreign Affairs. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for stopping by on the podcast today.
Hey, Chris, how's it going? It's good to be here.
I'm doing pretty good, and I wanted to start our conversation today with your experience on the Hill. You know, after all, this episode is about scoring and thriving on the Hill after getting an internship on Capitol Hill. What was your last position before leaving the Hill, and which office did you work in? And did you complete any internships while you were in Congress?
Yeah, so I'll start from where I started off. So I had been a graduate student at Syracuse University and decided that I wanted to get a little bit of, you know, I wanted to see what the flavor of the Hill was. So I came down to DC and started to think about how do I get my foot in the door. So I think a lot of the challenges that people face or a lot of the perception is, you know, you either have to know somebody or you have to be kind of a big name to end up on a position on the Hill. And I think for the first couple of months, it was pretty frustrating to get my way in. So I ended up acquiring an internship with my local representative from Tennessee, Jim Cooper, who's now unfortunately retired due to some gerrymandering, but he was a great representative. And I went from, you know, being an intern in his office for a couple of months to being on the Foreign Affairs Committee. So I started off on the Foreign Affairs Committee pretty much at the bottom of the totem pole as a legislative correspondent, you know, doing a lot of administrative stuff, but then getting an opportunity to dive a little bit deeper into some of the actual policy work that I wanted to do. So I was there for about a little over a year until the House flipped and, you know, the dynamics of the committee change after the parties change. So I was let go in late December. And so the last role I was really doing was officially I was a floor coordinator for legislation, and, you know, all these semantic roles. But essentially what I was doing was introducing legislation for the committee, helping on the committee floor, run all of the operations, all of the things that go into ensuring that the legislation we're working on gets presented, all the people that are speaking on the legislation get to speak and know what they're speaking about. So a lot of logistical coordination, and also was doing a little bit of work on Southeast Asia, which is my passion, and Latin America policy. So, you know, that's where I ended up on the committee before making my transition to my new role now.
You said you started out your career on Capitol Hill in your by interning in your local congressman's office. Could you talk to us a bit about your experience there? What did you do as an intern in a personal office in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, so, you know, I think I had a really great experience that I think was really foundational for the way that I developed as a professional now. So, you know, it was a lot of at first you come in and it's doing a lot of customer service stuff. So answering phones, looking at letters that your LC may have written and you know, like making little edits here and there. But I think for interns who want to take on greater responsibility, there really isn't a better place to be than on the Hill. And, you know, in a personal office, I think what you're doing is fielding requests to write memos once you show them. So the way it really works is if you want to get more responsibility, you have to show them that you can handle the little stuff first. So that's, you know, just taking opportunities to do any of the things that they need, you know, answering calls well, writing those constituent letters well. During COVID, it was a little bit different. So I was there when the pandemic was still at its height. So now interns will be doing like giving people tours that want to come in. And I think it's just being able to show them that you can do these basic things first. And then you get the opportunity to start taking on some of the policy work that everybody looks forward to doing. So when I was actually able to start doing policy memos, I remember, you know, the first thing they asked me to do was write a memo on access to postal services for handicap Americans. And, you know, this was something that I had never worked on before, but I think it was really interesting. I'm a foreign policy guy, so this was like really down in the weeds, really far away from anything that I had ever worked on. And I think it was a good experience to really see the breadth of, you know, how does Capitol Hill think about some of these more niche issues? And so a lot of my, you know, internship then became helping them write memos and getting to attend meetings on really cool things like AI and quantum. So I think it was, you know, proving yourself up front and then starting to talk in the office, making relationships and then showing them that, you know, I can write a memo on anything that you need me to, even if it's, as I just said, you know, handicap accessibility or the pharmaceutical supply chain. You know, I think part of the success of being an intern is really being open-minded, being adaptable, and being flexible. I mean, just being nice. I think that's one of those intangibles that people kind of forget.
Right, for sure. And, you know, for me, it's really always exciting when I was an intern on the Hill to see, you know, some of those policy, niche policy areas that you work on actually being translated into what the member of Congress that you are interning for actually, you know, does either on the floor, legislation they introduce, and anything in between. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what you mentioned about, you know, when you were a supervisor, intern supervisor, sending your interns to different interesting hearings or interesting briefings because, well, that's where I got to know you. I was one of your interns when you were a supervisor on House Foreign Affairs Committee. So I want to ask, is it different from your personal office, a committee internship? What do committee interns do? And is that different from what you perhaps did in Congressman Cooper's personal office?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it was great to have you, and you were a fantastic intern. So it's kind of full circle to be talking to you again here. But I think one of the main differences, and one of the things I was really blessed with when I was in Cooper's office was I had the opportunity to have FaceTime with the congressman, you know, on a weekly or biweekly basis. And I think that that's something, you know, just to start off before I dive into this a little bit deeper, that's something that you don't get in a lot of personal offices or even very often on the committee, because on the committee, you know, I'll start kind of separating out these differences. On the committee, you're working on a much more, you're working much more on the issues. And I always like to say that it's a little bit, it's a layer separated from the immediate politics that's going on. So, you know, you are more often working on issues that you may care about. And so while, for example, you may have a broad interest in foreign policy, well, when you come to the Foreign Affairs Committee, you know, that's a great opportunity to work on foreign policy in different areas. So you might come in with an interest in the Middle East, but you will get to write, you know, I think one of our interns had that interest, ended up working on Central America, the Central American portfolio. For me, you know, I had a very keen interest in foreign policy, but I was working on, like I just said, you know, postal office issues and pharmaceutical supply chain. So I think really to tie this down, I think the real differences are in the personal offices, it's a lot more customer service based. And I say that to mean that you're going to be talking to constituents a lot more, and you have to be a lot more clever and choosier of the words that you decide to say when you're speaking to constituents, knowing that there are political ramifications for what you say to constituents. And you're working on a lot wider range of issues. So, you know, if you have an issue in passion for foreign policy, it might be a lot harder to actually get to work on that in a personal office, unless your personal office is an office that does foreign policy. On the committee, I think our interns do a lot of administrative stuff, but it's mostly helping us conduct oversight, which is just a really fancy way to say you help us, as you know, Chris, file mail and kind of get to see how the committee interacts as a body of the government. And I think, you know, since the Foreign Affairs Committee was an oversight body for the State Department and USAID and a little bit for defense, you all got to see, interns on the committee definitely got to see how we were conducting oversight of those agencies. And I think that from a granular level at a personal office, that's not something you often get to experience. I think, you know, also on the committees, you do get a lot more of a substantive opportunity to work in the issues you care about. So you're going to be sitting around some of the smartest people in the government on any particular issue. So in the Foreign Affairs Committee, we had many of our professional staffers had spent years and years and years at one of the key agencies of foreign policy, whether that was state or USAID or defense. And I think although you don't get to see members that sit on the committee very often, you do get to see the actual people. You get to see the people that actually make the sausage. So, you know, I think there's no better place on the Hill to work deeply on an issue than on one of the committees. So I think that is really the main issue, is the scope of focus and the scope of work that you're doing between personal offices and the committee. And as you know, we don't get many constituent calls, so I think that is a nice little layer of insularity that committee staffers or committee interns have. I will say, when I was a personal intern, some of my favorite moments were answering constituent calls, but also some of my worst moments were answering constituent calls. So I think being on the committee allows you to get away a little bit, as I said, from all of the immediate politics or all of the immediate constituent service stuff, but it gets you to work on policy more specifically, and also and to engage in substantive conversations with subject matter experts on the things that you're passionate about.
No, definitely. You know, before I was interning on House Foreign Affairs, I was a personal office intern for a U.S. senator, and I definitely have to say a lot less phone calls, a lot less customer service work, which, you know, I also appreciated, like yourself, but it's also exciting to do policy issues, work on policy issues that you're passionate about, which in my case was Indo-Pacific issues. You know, we started out the conversation by talking about how you first got your start on the Hill in your, you know, local representative's office. Mm-hmm. Is that how most people should go about their search for what office they want to intern in? How should students go about searching for internships?
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic question and one that I really enjoy answering. So I loved having the opportunity to sit down with people that were looking to break into the Hill, like myself at one point, and kind of give them more of, here are some bullet points that you need to tick off to try to get this done. So it's a very nebulous world, it can seem like, but let's break this down systematically. So I think what you first should start doing if you're looking for an internship in a personal office, which is where you should start if you're going to be on the Hill, you should sit down and write a list of at least 5 to 10 members that are in places that you've lived before. And, you know, this can even be if you live somewhere for a month. I think what a lot of the personal offices are looking for is, do you have a connection to the office that you're going to be interning in? They don't care as much about your policy expertise or your policy background, although that is important. They are going to look first on your resume to see, does this person live or have they lived in the district? or do you have a connection? So, you know, that could even be my grandma lives in this, you know, in California 30, and I go visit her every summer. I think you got to cast a broad net. And so you start off by doing that, by writing a list of 5 to 10 members that have something to do with where you've lived or somewhere you have a connection. And then I say, you know, the next thing that you really need to start doing is doing a little bit of research on each of those people. So looking at what their issues are, what, you know, what they have done that you're passionate about. And I think one of the best things you can do when you go into an interview, let's say you get an interview with one of these people, one of these representatives, is have an idea of one or two things that they've done that you like, and then one or two things that they've done that you would have done differently. So I remember in my interview with Cooper's office, I was really, you know, they caught me off guard a little bit by asking, you know, here are all these things you said that you liked that Cooper did. What's one thing that he didn't do that you would have done, or what's one thing that you disagreed with? And, you know, thankfully I had been given this advice. So I was ready to go with that question, but I think it's not only showing that you have a connection to the district. You know, the next layer is then showing, hey, I've done my research on this person. I know what they're about and I know what I'm about. And then I would say,
not ask me that on my interview.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's something they want to know for sure. And so, you know, I think what, you know, what they're really looking for is people that are serious, right? You know, they want interns who are serious, but who, you know, I think the major thing, the major quality, and I think this is something I was always looking for, besides someone having the committee internship process is a little bit different, but on a personal office, they want to know that you're serious about coming and contributing. But I think overemphasizing that is a mistake. I think what they really are looking for is, do you want to learn? You know, have you shown a capacity to wanting to engage in these policy areas? Sure, that's important, but are you hungry to learn, and are you willing to come in and ask questions? And I think one of the major mistakes that most interns make is they come in and they think that they're going to rewrite the world of policy. And sure, maybe there's some that do that. I haven't met many, to be honest. But what many do that makes their time a success is they're hungry, right? They're hungry for knowledge. They're hungry to come in and learn about how everything gets made, how policy gets made, how the Hill works, how the Hill interacts with other parts of government. And I think being clear about that and being humble when you come into conversations with people on the Hill is something that a lot of people admire. It's really these two steps, right? Of let's make this systematic. Let me write a list of 5 to 10 people that I want to work for because I have a connection. And then let me reach out. And we'll talk about the reaching out process too. So I'm not forgetting about that, but that's something I'll circle back to. And I'm sure we'll talk about later, but I think the next step, once you get an interview, is telling your story, talking about the things you know about that member that you care about and how it personally has affected you. I think that's another piece that I didn't bring in. But, you know, if there's something they've done that, you know, was something that had affected you or your family. So for me, that was really immigration and talking to Cooper's stances on immigration. But then, you know, showing them, hey, I know the good things that he's done, and I know the good things that, you know, they're working towards, but here are some things that I might do differently, or here are some things that I would love to see them work for in the future. I think it's really these two steps once you get to the, you know, application and then interview process. And then if you'd like me to talk a little bit more about what's that in between applying and interviewing, I can definitely go into that now.
No, that was fantastic. And yeah, that'd be great, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they submitted in, they emailed this, you know, email account listed on their website of members of Congress, and, you know, have to be in the waiting game of, you know, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. So yeah, what should people do in between after submitting their application and, you know, if they're lucky, getting to the interview stage?
Yeah, so I think this is one of the more daunting tasks of getting an internship. Is it's to, you know, to be quite frank, it's a grind, right? It's a lot of failure and continuing to push, continuing to try until you find that one internship. And you know, I was always told that. So I played sports a lot, and I was always told in sports that all it takes is one point to win the game. And I think with the internship, that's really relevant too, because all it takes is one internship to get your foot in the door and make it happen and see your career start taking off. So what you need to be doing in the interim, and this is something that needs to happen before the application process opens up, is you need to start reaching out to people on the Hill and start thinking about ways to connect with people. So this is the, you know, the big networking game. I think one of the major mistakes that I saw a lot of interns make when I was an intern coordinator for the committee is people wait until the application opens up and then they want to reach out and have a coffee with me. Well, you know, that's great. And I understand why people are doing that. But one, it comes off as inauthentic. And I can tell that you're only talking to me because I am a piece in your puzzle to get what you want. And I think that that sets up a bad foundation for a good conversation potentially. And then two, you know, I'm so busy at that time looking at all these other applications. I can't meet with 40 people to talk about my experience on the Hill so that they can get an internship. So I think it's taking that list that you've made, starting to think about who do I actually have a good relationship with on the Hill. So, you know, tapping into those actual authentic relationships that you already have, starting there. So, you know, start with those people, get back in touch with them, start asking them, hey, you know, here are the places that I've applied to. Do you know anybody in these offices that you can connect me with? I think part of the networking game is having somebody advocate for you, having somebody that can reach out on your behalf. Because let's say, you know, you want to work for Cooper's office, you know, for example. Well, I didn't know anybody in Cooper's office, right? But I started to think about, okay, are there any people in this office that went to any of the schools that I went to? Or do any of my already existing connections have relationship in Cooper's offices that they can email for me and say, hey, I got this great guy. He's really curious about the Hill and he wants to learn about this internship. So, you know, it's making authentic relationships. I think that's really what needs to be stressed here is when you're going into the networking process, people don't want to feel used, right? So don't wait until a month before the application needs to be submitted to start making relationships. You need to start doing that now. So if you know that you want to intern on the Hill, you need to start thinking about who you know, and you need to start thinking about those offices now and reaching out to them. So how do you reach out to them if you don't have their email or contact information? Well, you know, there's two ways. I think the best way is to have somebody reach out on your behalf. So, you know, CC you on an email and make that introduction. If that's not possible, then I cannot tell you how many times I cold emailed someone on LinkedIn. The amount of time I LinkedIn is a great tool if you know how to use it. So I was literally just going to Google and typing in Rep Cooper legislative assistant and then LinkedIn and starting to cold email them. And I think that actually worked pretty well. And a lot of what I was saying was not, hey, you know, I'm interested in an internship on the Hill. It was, hey, you know, I am starting to think about the steps I want to take in my career. And I've seen that you've done all of these things that I also find fascinating to get to your current position. Would love to sit down for a coffee, you know, 10, 15 minutes and talk about how you got to where you're at and see how I can learn from that. And I think that sense of humility really goes a long way. I think the second part of that is also setting specific dates that you want to meet. So something I told you, Chris, and something I always told our other interns was, you know, you need to put specific times and specific dates in the first message that you send out. So don't just say, hey, we'd love to get coffee sometimes. Because look, people on the Hill are busy and frankly, they don't have a lot of the mental bandwidth to sit down and try to work out a coffee with you. You got to put that right up front, because the more emails that you have to send back and forth, the less likely it is you're actually going to get to sit down with somebody. So, you know, I think it's it's being straight to the point that helps you finally procure that coffee in the end.
No, I think that was one of the best advice you gave me about like noting that time in you know, your initial email to, you know, whomever you want to make coffee with, because, you know, I still use that today. And, you know, it's I think that's, you know, number one, makes the process of scheduling a lot faster in terms of, you know, emails going back and forth about availability. But also, you know, it just, I guess, sets you up nicely for a good conversation, you know, kind of perhaps suggest that you were out organized and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that was a fantastic advice that I hope a lot of our listeners also follow.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say also be the one to send the calendar invite. The less work that the other person has to do, the better. I know when someone asks me for coffee and they take care of the scheduling and they take care of the calendar invite, I already like that person to begin with. So, you know, it's just being on top of your stuff and pulling as much of the weight of setting up this interaction as you can and not putting so much on the other person to have to go back and forth and figure it all out.
No, this is fantastic. And, you know, and I, even when, you know, so much of Hill staffers are busy, they have a lot coming up. I've been fortunate enough to say that I've never had a bad coffee. Everyone that I've met over coffee chats have been fantastic. And always willing to help out, which I always appreciate.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think you hit on something there too, which is one of the misconceptions is that people on the Hill are really mean and insular and cutthroat and competitive. And, you know, I've been on the Hill now I've been in DC at least for 2 years now. And I would say every single person that I've met with has been nothing but kind and open and willing to help me out. I think it's just getting to that face-to-face and then, you know, being willing to ask for help, you know, being willing to say, you know, here's what I don't know. And here's where I want to go, and giving the space for that person to say, yeah, you know, I see that, you know, you're a Johns Hopkins student and you want to work on the Foreign Affairs Committee. You know, here's who I know that might be able to help you out. And I think that's a really important piece of it too. And I do want to stress being humble. You know, like, I think one of the worst things you can do when you actually sit down for coffee is start spouting out all the things that you know about foreign policy or whatever issue you care about. Because, you know, everybody on the Hill is smart, right? So we don't need to know that you also are smart. We just need to know that you're a good person to work with. And I think when you actually sit down for coffee, what people are looking for is really a vibe check. They want to see that, like, hey, this is someone that I would vouch for, and not, you know, hey, this person is like going to solve the Israel-Palestine crisis. Like, we're pretty sure you're not going to do that. And it just shows us that maybe, you know, you don't have that intellectual humility that is really important as an intern also.
No, definitely. And, you know, that goes back to your advice about, you know, even just, you know, applying to, you know, internships on the Hill and kind of setting expectations in terms of being humble, being hungry to learn. I want to actually circle back to what you said about the difference between committee internships and personal internships in terms of their hiring procedure.
Sure.
You were in a hiring position in a committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee. Was there anything specific that, you know, you were looking for, specific qualities that you looked for in applicants, specific experiences that you were looking for? And were they, I guess, different from what a personal office internship coordinator might be considering?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I'll speak to the pre-application or the pre-interview process as to what I'm looking for, because I think what's really difficult is standing out. You know, I think on the committee, we received anywhere between sometimes 200 and 500 applications for internships. And, you know, it was quite grueling to get through those. So first, what I look for is, does this person actually have any demonstrable interest in foreign policy, right? The amount of people that say they care about foreign policy is endless in DC, but I need to see that this person actually has engaged with foreign policy in some way. So whether that be, you know, as yourself writing, creating a podcast that speaks about foreign policy issues, or doing some kind of public service like the Peace Corps that has sent somebody abroad to work on foreign policy, I think that's the first box I usually check off. And then The second thing I'm looking for is a public service mindset. So I, you know, at least for me, because of my background, I think it's always really important to remember why we do the work that we do, and that is to serve people. Firstly, the American people, and then secondly, global citizens. You know, I think I want to see that someone has done some kind of volunteer work or some kind of public service. And I think that two of the things that always jumped out to me were a program called AmeriCorps and a program called Peace Corps. So I think when I saw people that did either Peace Corps or AmeriCorps, I knew that this person was public service oriented and public service minded. So, you know, that really jumped out to me to begin with. I think immediately, if I look at an application and I see no foreign policy interest whatsoever, other than just having some grad or some classes that you've taken, you know, I think the classes are fine, but everybody that's applying for the committee internships has taken classes in foreign policy, right? Like, we know that if you're applying for the Foreign Affairs Committee for an internship, you've probably done some coursework on that. So that really doesn't stand out to me too much. In a personal office, I think the public service piece is a lot higher, to be frank. I think when I was applying to a lot of internships for personal offices, they always wanted to see a volunteer section, and they wanted to see that I had been doing volunteer work or that I had been doing a lot of public service stuff. So I think that was one piece. And then I think the major piece for me in a personal office, and maybe even in the committee, to be really honest, is how does your identity tie into your passion for a certain policy, right? So I think that was something that I always asked in the interviews was, you know, you say you're really invested in the U.S.-Cuba relationship. Why is that? And so for me, it was, you know, having a family that fled the communist uprising in the 60s and, you know, having grown up in that context of really thinking about my place in the world and really thinking about how the U.S. and Cuba interacted and weaving that into, you know, my cover letter and a lot of the answers that I gave in my interviews. I think it's one thing to be an expert on these things on paper, but for me, I think the future of foreign policy is having people that have some vested interest in the things that they're working on. So I think that always stood out to me. So if someone said they were interested in the Middle East, talking a little bit about how your family has connections there, or even how your family has been affected by U.S. Middle Eastern relationships, I think that really goes a long way, and that sets you apart beyond other applicants, to be honest. I think at the end of the day, it's telling that story of, here's this policy, here's how it's affected me in my personal life, and here's why I want to work on it, and here's what I want to do to make a difference in that area. I think that, you know, putting a bow on it, that narrative, that discussion of how these things integrally have affected you is something that'll set you apart beyond all the other interns, to be honest.
Right. And, you know, I guess so much of foreign policy discussion is, I guess, a bit bird's eye view in that, you know, the personal is really detached from actual policy that's being conducted. So I think what you said, you know, not only just limited to the context of, you know, seeking out internships on the, you know, Foreign Affairs Committee or, you know, any foreign policy oriented internships on the Hill, it's really, you know, central to how you perhaps should be kind of carrying yourself elsewhere as well. Just a quick follow-up to, you know, everything that you said, which is, would you say that a personal office internship is a needed prerequisite to score a committee internships, be it the Foreign Affairs Committee, you know, well, I know Armed Services doesn't have internship programs, but, you know, Homeland Security Committee, any, you know, committee internships?
I think a personal office internship is really important. However, there are other avenues to get a committee internship, I believe. So if you don't have the personal office experience, some other areas you can go into that might land you on a committee in the future would be any of the think tank world internships. So things like CSIS, Brookings, anything of that nature will really help you get onto a committee internship. And then also, like I said, having some of those on the ground, nitty gritty public service career opportunities. So that's like Peace Corps, for example, or Fulbright. You know, having at least, I think, at least a year of professional experience in a foreign policy setting is absolutely necessary to get on to the committee as an intern, but you don't have to do that in a personal office, I would say. However, you know, I think if you're being systematic about this and you do want to end up on one of the committees, when you're going to write that 5 to 10 person list that I was speaking about earlier, you should also include the list of, you know, the list of members that sit on the committee. So, you know, if you want to work on a committee and you want to be on the Hill to start off in a personal office, you definitely want to think about who sits on the committee that I want to be on, who, you know, and working on getting a personal internship there and then using that as a stepping stone to get a committee internship, I think is a really good way to go about it.
Well, so far in our podcast, we've talked about how people should approach, the mindset they should approach internships on the Hill with, how they should perhaps reach out to people in different offices to build that relationship that may help them score internships in offices they want. And finally, what, you know, hiring people in hiring positions like yourself previously look for in candidates. I wanted to conclude our discussion today with a bit of a broad question, which is that, you know, internships usually last around 3 to 4 months. For summer internships, it usually begins, in May, ends early August, mid-August. What should interns try to do to make the most of their time? We talked extensively about coffee chats, which is an integral part of any Hill internships. But are there, and also we also talked about how interns may get to work on policy memos and more policy-oriented roles after, you know, working, proving themselves through administrative roles. But are there anything else that interns should try to do to make the most of their time this summer or any future internship periods on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And, you know, I'll start with the networking piece and then I'll go to the substantive piece. So I think when you go about networking, you need to be networking laterally and vertically. And by that, I mean, you need to network with other interns because you never know who's going to end up in what office and could help you out at the end of the summer. You know, the vertical networking we've already talked about, but also going to as many events as you can. I think your goal as an intern, if you want to get a job on the Hill, is to have as many people as you can know you. The more people that know you, the more opportunities that are going to open up for you. So that's the networking piece. And we'll put a tack in that one. On the substantive piece, what an intern needs to be doing, and I always told my interns this in the committee, was you need to have a portfolio of substantive work that you've done during your internship. You need to come away from your internship with at least 2 or 3 writing samples. And I think that is vitally important to show somebody that you can do the work that you need to do if you want to become a legislative correspondent, which is usually the next step after an intern. I think also doing diverse writing samples. So I think one of the things on the committee that our interns got to do, which was really great, was not only write memos about certain topics, but also writing questions on certain issue areas for hearings. And you can do this in personal offices too, but I think not just focusing on memos, but also focusing on different types of things that you're going to be doing when you're actually a full-time staffer is really important. So that is, you know, obviously the memos, but also writing questions, also being able to show that you've created social media, I think is another great way to diversify your portfolio. And then seeing if you can get a chance to write remarks for your member or for the committee. I think those 4 areas, if you check those 4 off and you come out of the internship having known a lot of people at the end of the summer, you're setting yourself up really, really well to land a role on the Hill. And so, you know, we've gone from this nebulous discussion of getting an internship on the Hill to now boiling it down to some systemic steps or systematic steps you could be taking to land an internship and then to land an actual role on the Hill. And I would say that if you you know, if you've made it this far, I would love to open up the opportunity for people to reach out to me also, Chris. And I'm sure this will go in the show notes or, you know, potentially in the bio. But I think one of the things that I've always prioritized is lifting up other people with me as I advance in my career. I think it's been something I've been really lucky to get where I'm at now. And, you know, I think it's really always important to pay that forward. So, you know, however we want to go about this, if people want to reach out to me and get coffee, I would love to, you know, find a time to do that and see how I can help anyone out.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, we'll definitely figure out a way to do that. And I appreciate that generous offer because, I'm sure our listeners could tell, you know, just by just this conversation, you have, you know, wealth of experience, wealth of advice that you could give to so many up and coming people in DC or people who are looking to join and take the first step into entering the policy world here in Washington, DC. But anyways, I truly appreciate you taking the time. We're recording this on Sunday out of your weekend to record this episode with us. I'm learning new things as we speak, even though I was you were one of your interns for, I believe, over 4 months in my case. But yeah, thank you once again for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Hopkins Podcast on Foreign Affairs. We hope you enjoyed it. We would like to say thank you to the International Studies Program at Johns Hopkins University and the SNF Agora Institute at Johns Hopkins University for making this episode possible. Remember to follow us on social media at Hopkins POFA on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for the latest and greatest of Hopkins POFA content. Hit follow on Spotify, subscribe on iTunes, and leave a rating. We'll see you next time.